Scripture lesson comes to us from the letter to the Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 12 to 16. Hear the word of God. It is written for you. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before our Lord, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare. To the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. In the 7 days since we were last together, here and at home, there has been a lot of news, always a lot of news. This week is no exception. A new total of global COVID deaths, 219 million. In the US, COVID deaths, 44.3 million. A COVID vaccine company is purposely holding back vaccines for the poor. The explosion of eating disorders are so high and rampant among our country's teens. There's a surge of trepidation in Taiwan. Failures to stop sexual abuse within the church that has global denominations scrambling to understand betrayal and cover up. Flood, fire, heat, drought, and 20 new extinct birds, animals, plants. This news, it reaches our senses and the very core of who we are. And some of us rage, and that's fine. And some of us fall down weeping. That's good. And some of us are so numb, we can't take it anymore. And that's okay. Another day goes by, and we begin to believe that we have no more emotional resources to live life fully. No more spiritual resources to pray, no more yearning to stake a claim for our place in God's world. And just as we hover on the edge of wanting to run far away, God leads us to this very small band of believers in the first century who are as shaken about the world as we are. We meet the Church of the Hebrews and hear these words, these living words, reaching out through the pages and through the centuries, the very word of God. And we must pay greater attention to what we have heard, says chapter 2, so that we do not drift away from it. And from today's text, indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow, is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Last week, Dave Davis preached on chapter 1 of this letter. And he said in that sermon, he encouraged us to at some point sit down and read the beginning to the end of this letter. It's full of complicated stuff, he said, about Jesus. Anybody do that? It is complicated, complex, beautifully lyrical, multifaceted, and unlike any other writing in the Bible. We don't know who wrote it. We don't know when it was exactly written. We don't know when it came to be heard or for whom it was written. What we do know is that it's complicated stuff about Jesus. And this letter, written, may be complicated, but in our hearing, I think it's very easy to hear. As we read and as we heard, we begin to notice that it's actually not a letter at all. It smells like a letter, it tastes like a letter, it looks like a letter, but it's really a sermon. A pastoral sermon in disguise, directed to a beloved church in need of the cleansing balm of confession. You see, many of this church linger on the outskirts of belonging and float around the fringes of fellowship. And they are so weary. How can they possibly work for justice when they can hardly take care of themselves? They're drained and sapped and bored. How can they possibly encourage one another, worship beside one another, lift voices to confess their brokenness alongside one another? One preacher puts it like this: the threat to the Hebrew church is not that they are charging off away from faith, but they don't have enough energy to charge off anywhere. The threat here is that the worn out and the worn down are dropping off, hiding, drifting away. I think the problem is familiar. We too feel exhausted and drained and overworked and overstretched. Can I have an amen, Lolly?
Amen.
How do we work up empathy with one another? How do we do that when it's so hard to take care of ourselves, our children, our neighbors, our families, our state, our country? I can't even reach the world. How do we work up enough empathy to others when on Sunday mornings, the only thing we really want to do, because it's sometimes the only unstructured part of our week, is to stay under the covers? I don't blame you. The New York Times and a cup of coffee. Why not stay in bed? Why not drop the kids off at church and catch a secret cup of coffee down the street? Hold on. There's a distinct smell from Small World. It's Grumpy Monkey, because I recognize the bold, bright, and spicy notes. Straight from the beans of Papua New Guinea and Tanzania peaberry. You think I don't know that? I do. And wait a minute, in this direction, I'm getting a whiff of relativity blend from sacred coffee. Relativity blend, the theory of relativity, Einstein. There's exactly a half mile between sacred and Einstein's house. They mapped it out. And no one could blame you for worshiping at sacred coffee on a Sunday morning. It's a wonderful place to hide out. And we know a lot about hiding. People of faith, there's a fair amount of hiding. Think about it. When do you hide from God? What do you dive into to run away when it all gets to be too much? When faced with this world, this life, which seems constantly brutal and uncertain and cruel, we hide into all sorts of things to numb ourselves. We could name 20, each one of us. Here are a few. Alcohol, that's a biggie. Painkillers, food, exhilarating affairs, pornography, gossip, sleep, screen time, imposing ourselves into relationships where we don't belong. The preacher of the Hebrews church knows this is true for their church. And yet somehow, through this grace of God, this preacher is bold and brave and brash enough to shout this out. The word of the living God, sharper than any two-edged sword, calls you out of hiding, resuscitates, and revives. It doesn't matter how tired or numb we are. The one who scrubs clean our hearts wants our full attention. The one who died for us wants our honesty. The one who lives for us calls us to open ourselves and to share with him our deepest fears and joys and anxieties and gratitude. The one who grabs us by the scruff of the neck demands awareness about ourselves, not to numb out, but to come forth in front of the mercy seat of God, that seat of confession. There is no running away from the kingdom of God. There is no disappearing. There is only stripped down vulnerability at that mercy seat in front of our Lord, because, and here it is, before our Lord, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare in the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. When we feel lost, there is the very word of God. There comes a word, the very word of God, the word that is faithful and true, the word that wakes us up and sweeps away the sleep from our hearts. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. I wish he had said it like this, the preacher. We do have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness. We don't need to put it into the negative. We have one in every respect because our Lord has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, approach the throne, the mercy seat of grace with boldness, so that you may receive mercy and find help and compassion. The Word of God pierces us, not as a physical attack, but as a mending, like a surgeon opening and mending our hearts, a stitching up of our emotional lacerations, a resetting our dislocated souls, a standing us up upright and helping us to begin again. I don't know about you, but I need a new beginning each and every day, sometimes each and every hour. Laying ourselves bare before God is an act of faith. Laying ourselves bare before God is an act of devotion. We render an account. We hold fast to our confession. And approaching the throne of grace with boldness, we receive mercy. It is a fine, sweet balm of grace. What more could we be thankful for than that? Peace be with you.